Okay, I'm also going to talk a little bit about the pink bollworm eradication program in the El Paso Trans-Pecos zone in far west Texas. And we use a number of technologies. There's going to be several talks on this program from the various states, and then an overview talk. So I won't go through too much of this, but we use BT cotton, mating disruption, which is these ropes, and then we have some sprayable mating disruption products, chemical control, and then sterile insect releases is to accomplish pink bollworm eradication. Our program in 99 and 2000 was a trapping program only, and the rest of these bullets kind of relate to what were the primary control strategies that we used in the different years. 2001's is primarily BT and sprayable pheromone with a little bit of rope and insecticides. 2002 and 3, we used BT cotton again and rope, but the rope kind of supplanted the sprayable pheromone. In 2002 and 2003, we found it worked a little bit better and was less expensive. 2004, we started getting a few sterile moths into the program. In 2005, 6, and 7, we moved to sterile moths being primary, along with BT cotton and then rope and some of these other technologies a little bit less relied on. The sterile moth quality control, I probably won't be the only one to talk about this, but there are a number of things that we look at, and I'm just going to focus on sterile moth recapture because that's where we've got the most data and the best results probably. But ratio of recaptured sterile moths to released sterile moths. And what this means is if your pheromone traps are catching a higher ratio of sterile moths, it indicates that your sterile moth quality is better. You're probably getting better sterile moths. And you can see 2005, 2006, we dropped a little bit in 2006, but in 2007 we're double what we were even in 2005 in terms of recapture. And that's a good thing. That indicates that we've got a better moth out there than we've been having on our sterile release moths. Percent BT cotton acreage. This is what we've traditionally had a lot of BT cotton in the Pecos work unit, and less in the Fort Hancock work unit, and lower still in the El Paso. And these two are low because there's primarily Pima cotton, and there's no BT Pima yet. But overall, for the zone, we had 34% of the zone, about 13,000 acres in BT cotton. If you look at our various uses of the other technologies, you can see how this is rope here, sprayable pheromone. This is chlorpyrifos insecticide, and then pyrethroids. You can see most of these inputs are going down pretty strongly as we move through the years and gotten these populations down to real low levels. Here's what if you just looked at 2007, 2,800 acres treated with rope, nearly 5,000 acres sprayable pheromone, about 6,500 with insecticides. We did have a hot spot develop this year in Acala, about halfway between El Paso and Fort Hancock, if any of you know that area. It's right between El Paso and Hudspeth counties, right on the county line, and the hot spot kind of went over into Mexico also. This is what it looks like from the air with some. These were moth trap captures through about mid-July, and you can see the hottest of the hot spot was right down in this corner of this field, and there were Mexican fields that had some concerns right down in this area. So this little hot spot basically went to both sides of the river, and there were larvae in some of these fields. There's probably this group of fields right in here, 5 or 6, 8 fields we had larval finds. This is what the catches of native or non-sterile moths looked like beginning about, early, and then ending about early October. We did knock most of those insects out of the picture by first part of October. Let me just show you some trapping and bowl inspection information. This is what the trapping looks like over the years I need to go back if I can. Let's see. Yes. There we go. From 2003 forward, and 2007 is the red bars here that look nearly flat at the front. These are moth captures per week on a weekly basis through the year for each of those years. And then if you pull the years 2003 and 2004 out, then this is what you get: 2005 in the yellow, 2006 in the blue, and then 2007 in the red. And you can see those numbers are coming down pretty nicely. This was the area the period of time that the Kayla hotspot developed, and then these were kind of spread later in the season, not really in that Kayla hotspot. Here's what the captures look like week by week through the year. Again, caught a few here as we got a little bit of movement late in the year. And these are season-long. This is average season-long native moths per trap for the whole zone. And you can see how those numbers have come down from 19.74 in 99 to 0.02 now. And that's a 99.9% reduction from 99 to 2007. And if you look at it another way, these are the total numbers of moths caught from during the same period, except we did not have trap data in 99 and we began getting it in 2000. But this is what this is. Excuse me. Yeah, this is the total numbers of moths caught 2000 through 2007. So we can see how that's dropped down really, really nicely. And the biggest part of these moths were caught in that Akela hotspot. And if you look at larvae per bowl, you go from 2001, that was the first year we sampled bowls. Actually, this number would probably be more like 20% bowl infestation. And now we're looking at 0.024. These are actually percentages that's on this slide. And that's a 99.5% reduction in pink bollworm larvae in the bowls. And that concludes what I had to say on the pink bollworm program. And I ended that one faster, didn't I? I guess I sped up. Any questions? On either, I guess this would be just on either one. They can ask
on the... You can ask any question on previous one of these.
Yes, sir, Mike. Right. Well, that's a good question, and there's a study being done to look at that with at least our weevils, the one that went into the Southern Rolling Plains Zone. USDA is looking at to try to determine where they came from, and they're looking at two probable source populations. One would be in the Taylor, Georgetown area over near the Brazos River, and the other would be the Uvalde area. My guess is they probably came from Uvalde, mainly because that's where the big numbers were. I mean, there were a lot bigger numbers at Uvalde for them to move from than there were from that Taylor, Georgetown, but they could have come from either place. And they're looking into that two or three different ways from DNA studies to pollen on the weevils to wind currents. They're going to do a real thorough look at that. So we're going to have data on that. I just don't have it right now.
Time for a few more questions. It doesn't have to be bold weevil or pink bold weevil. You can ask anything to
tell.
Very good.
Thank you.